Today on Hardwired.
See, you're going to one of two places. There is no in between. There's no fence. There is no netherworld. There is no, well, I'm going to take another option. I'm not going to heaven or to hell. There's not another option. There's only two: everlasting life or everlasting death. Everlasting is a big word. You know what it means in the Greek? Everlasting. And that's a long time.
You're listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference as it's hardwired into your life, your relationships, and your future. You may be stuck in traffic or maybe even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, we're going to begin an exciting, uplifting series on heaven. We're going to see that one of the very first things Jesus talked about when beginning his ministry was heaven. The Bible is filled with hundreds of mentions of heaven, and it provides many descriptions of heaven to give us a glimpse into what it's going to be like. So let's start today with a very simple orientation to this glorious place with the message, A Place Called Heaven. Let's go.
The name of the series is What's Up with Heaven, and we're going to be looking at it the next few weeks. Really, really good stuff. Today, A Place Called Heaven. It's only one verse, so let's read it together. And I want you to notice what was the first thing that came out of Jesus' mouth when Jesus began to preach. Let's read it out loud together, can we? From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why was heaven at hand? Because he was at hand. He was there. And Jesus is the gateway to heaven. The first thing Jesus had on his mind was two things: repent so you can get into heaven. Jesus talked about heaven. In the first sentence, the first words that came out of his mouth, he was talking about heaven. And if you were to get out a strong concordance or just go through your Bible, it would take you a while, but you would find hundreds of mentions of heaven, the place called heaven. It's not an idea. It's not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's not something out of Brothers Grimm. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is real. As the famous book said, heaven is for real. Now, starting in the Old Testament, I'll give you a couple of instances where heaven is mentioned in the Old Testament that are really good examples. We find Solomon in all places, the book of Ecclesiastes, which tends to be a depressing book, but he says, for God is in heaven. So there Solomon, David's son, has a full grasp that there is a place called heaven, and God is there. God is in heaven. We're told in 2 Kings that when Elijah was caught up by the power of God, by, you know, you remember the fiery chariots and all of that. It says that Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah is an example of the rapture of the church, because I want you to notice he was there, and then all of a sudden the power of God moved, and he was instantly snatched up into heaven. And I believe that Elijah has been given to us, the story of Elijah and what happened with him, as an example of what's going to happen one day with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be going through normal life, and if we are alive and still walking around on the earth, suddenly a trumpet is going to blow. That moment will come in God's timetable, and there will be a trumpet blast and a shout, and those of us who are on earth will immediately, like Elijah, be taken up into heaven. Just like that. And the meaning of heaven in those two verses that I quoted is simply the abode of God. It's where God lives. That's what heaven meant to them. That was the meaning of the Hebrew word there, the place where God lives. The abode of God, the place where God's throne exists. And David, we find, clearly had an understanding of the afterlife and of heaven. when he said in the Psalms 49:15, God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Notice he says, I'm not going to stay in the grave. God is going to redeem me from the power of the grave, and he's going to receive me to himself. So he's saying, when I die, I'm going where God is. The grave is not going to contain me, not going to hold me. I'm not going to be there forever. And then in another place that is particularly strong, you remember when David lost his little boy. David's little boy, an infant, died when he was only a few days old. And David fasted and prayed and asked God to heal him and prayed that he would not die. But when he died, David got up, began to comb his hair, got dressed nice, called for a breakfast, quit fasting. And his servant said, what's up with this? You were fasting, you were praying, you were mourning, but now when the child dies, you're up and acting like everything is okay? Listen to what David said. It's so powerful. David said, but now he is dead. Why should I continue to fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him. I will go to him when I die, but he will not return to me. And there's David giving an incredible statement of faith. He said, I know something. When I die, I'm going to go to heaven. And when I go to heaven, my little baby is going to be there. This has everything to do with the age of accountability that I'm going to talk about in this series. One Sunday, I'm just going to call it, what about the children? But let me just tell you right now, up front, give you a little teaser for that message, that this little baby died before the age of accountability. And David revealed a great truth. That little baby went immediately into the presence of the Lord. And David said, when I die, I'm going to go and I'm going to be with him. I can't bring him back here because once you're gone, you're gone. But when I die, I'm going to go to him. And it tells me he fully expected to recognize him. I'm going to go to him and I'm going to be able to hold him. So this death has not been permanent, only a temporary goodbye. Folks, aren't you glad we don't sorrow as those who have no hope? Now, Daniel gives us one of the greatest statements about Old Testament belief and understanding in a place called heaven, when he talks not only about heaven and eternal life, but the coming resurrection of the dead. Daniel is talking to God, and Daniel says, at that time, your people, God's people, you, everyone who is found written in the book of life will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. That's the resurrection. Though you're sleeping in the dust of the ground and though your body has become dust itself, look what he says. I love this. He says, they will awake. They will awake. Everybody say with me, there is a resurrection coming. And if you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. See, preaching that is what got Paul in trouble all the time. Because Paul insisted when he preached the gospel, he preached the resurrection from the dead. He says, many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. These to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Two everlastings there, one great, one not so great. One of them, everlasting life. Look at that phrase, everlasting life. Folks, I want you to know that you're an eternal being. And you're either going to go into everlasting life or everlasting contempt. That's what Daniel said. What did the gospel say? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. There's that phrase again. Everlasting contempt. Jesus said, he that believes on me has the life, but he that believes not on me doesn't have the life, but the wrath of God abides on him. See, you're going to one of two places. There is no in between. There's no fence. There is no netherworld. There is no, well, I'm going to take another option. I'm not going to heaven or to hell. There's not another option. There's only two, everlasting life or everlasting death. Everlasting is a big word. You know what it means in the Greek? Everlasting. And that's a long time. Now, when we come to the New Testament, there's way more information on heaven. I mean, the New Testament pulls the shades, lifts the veil, and allows us in to see so many things about heaven that it's glorious. It doesn't tell us everything I wish it did, but it tells me enough to whet my appetite for that place called heaven. For starters, the Apostle Paul said that there are actually three heavens. Look at what he says. I know a man in Christ. Now, the man in Christ he's talking about is himself. But because of what he's about to say, he's humbling himself. He doesn't want to point to himself. But he said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. Well, if there's a third heaven, there's got to be a second one, and there's got to be a first one, or there wouldn't be a third one. So what are the first and the second heavens? Well, the first heaven is the earthly atmosphere. It is the place we live, the sky with its clouds, its birds, its life-giving oxygen. It is that area that is where we live and move and have our being. The first heaven, the earthly atmosphere. Isaiah describes the first heaven for us. He says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, the clouds, the rain, the snow come from the clouds, from heaven. He's talking about the first heaven. And they do not return there. The rain and the snow don't return. Once they fall, they fall. But they water the earth and they make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, but will do what I sent it forth to accomplish. But here's the idea. He's identifying the first heaven. It is where the rain comes from, the snow comes from, the clouds exist. That's the first heaven.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, hardwired.org. You'll find today's program, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's a growing list of great things to check out at the site. So hop on over and check it out, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. And be sure to tell your friends about the program. We know you're being blessed by it. I'm sure your friends will be as well. We're here to reach as many people for the Lord as we can. So getting the word out will help us on this mission. And that's what this program is all about. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
The second heaven is the vast universe in which we live, filled with billions of stars and galaxies and planets and universes. On and on and on it goes, hundreds of light years into space. That's the second heaven. The Bible tells us that God made the second heaven, and it describes his creation of it in Genesis 1. Listen to what it said. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens, second heaven, to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens, second heaven, to give light to the earth. And it was so. Notice, God said it and it was so. Evolution did not give us the stars and the planets and the universes. Evolution did not do that. No, it says God said it and it was so. And people say, well, how do you believe that? Because I believe in God. And if I believe in God, then I have to believe in a creator God, because the true concept of a God means an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at once being. And he can make things when he says it. It says, he said it and it was so. Boy, I love that. He said it and it was so. And then it says, God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, the sun. The lesser light to rule the night, the moon. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of where, everybody? The heavens, to give light on the earth. That's the second heaven. David the psalmist in Psalms 19 is talking about the second heaven when he said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day they utter speech, night after night they show forth knowledge. There is no voice nor language where their sound is not heard. The heavens are a testimony, not of evolution, but of the glory of God. The heavens declare, they speak, they preach, they teach, they communicate that there is a God, and he made it, and he made you. That's why you ought to go look in a mirror and say, good job, God, because God made you. He likes you. He formed you and fashioned you in the quietness of your mama's womb. He gave you your DNA, your genetic makeup. He called what you were going to be, and he called you as a person to glorify him in the earth. But that's why he gave the second heaven. But then there is the third heaven. And that's the one that Paul is talking about when he said, on that day, when this happened to me, I was caught up into paradise. And I heard things so astounding that they are beyond a man's power to describe or put in words. That just blows my mind. Paul said, when I got into the third heaven, I heard things and I saw things that I cannot repeat on earth. They're too holy. They're too sacred. I can't cast those pearls before human ears. I saw things, glory, unspeakable bliss, things that are beyond the power of words to convey. He said, God told me, don't ever repeat on earth what I have just shown you. The third heaven is the highest heaven. Paul calls it paradise, and paradise means a beautiful garden. And to me, what he's hinting at when Paul, because the Holy Ghost makes no mistake with words he chose to go in Scripture. So when the Holy Ghost moved on Paul to say paradise, I believe it was letting us know that heaven is going to be similar to a throwback to the Garden of Eden before the fall of man. A beautiful garden. That's what paradise means. Paradiso, a beautiful garden, indescribably beautiful. A garden like we can't imagine. Glory, bliss, beauty, unbelievable joy, unspeakable. Can't put it into words. The restoration of the garden that was lost. In Deuteronomy 10:14, Moses writes about the third heaven. He said, indeed, heaven and the highest heavens, that's the third heaven, the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God and also the earth with all that is in it. It's the third heaven that Jesus referred to when he told us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. That's the third heaven, because he went on to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And see, the third heaven is the only heaven where God's will is perfectly done. The second heaven is where spiritual warfare takes place, and we know his will is not perfectly done here on earth. But in the third heaven, there is no stain or taint of sin. There's not one microsecond of disobedience. God's will is perfectly done. It's perfect bliss. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. The third heaven is the dwelling place of God. It's paradise, and it's going to be our eternal home. Now, I want to look at some of the characteristics of heaven, because here's where the Bible opens up a window. It says, let me tell you a few things about the place called heaven. First of all, it tells us that heaven is indeed a place. Heaven is a place. Can you say that with me? Heaven is a place. See, Jesus promised that those who put their faith in him and allowed him to save them, rescue them from their sin and eternal damnation, that they would go to a literal place called the Father's house. I love John 14, 1 through 3. I've never presided over a funeral that I have not quoted this, because it's a word of comfort. It's a word of hope. It's a word that gives us faith. And it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I'm telling you the truth about this, because if this wasn't true, I wouldn't tell you. I go to prepare a what, everybody? Place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, oh, I love that, where I am, there you may be also. Where I am, there you may be also. But notice, two times in three verses, Jesus called it a literal place. Now, that word from the Greek language is topos. We get topography from that Greek word, topos. And you know what topos means? It means an inhabited place, as a city, or a village, or a town, a real geographically located place. I go to prepare a real place for you. Listen to what the psalmist wrote in Psalms 33. It says, from the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. See, God is in a place. Heaven is a place. It's a real place. And you know what I like that Paul wrote? Paul said, let me tell you about you that have been redeemed. It says, he has raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly, whatever one, places in Jesus Christ. I love the way God thinks, because when God looks at you and me, he says, yeah, you're in a place. You're in Turning Point Church. You're sitting in a chair. You're in Fort Worth, Texas. But as far as I'm concerned, it's all done. It's all wrapped up, and you are actually in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. I have put you there. You are in a place, and that place is heavenly. Aren't you glad you're there? You're there already. Evangelist John Rice wrote of heaven, I tell you, heaven is a real, literal, physical place. A city as material, as physical, as literal as Chicago, London, New York, or Tokyo. It's a place. It's real. You're not going to be floating around on some cloud with wings, playing a harp, bored to tears. That used to make me fear heaven. I thought, man, sitting on a cloud playing a harp, I'm bored in 10 minutes. But that is not heaven. No, that is not heaven at all. Heaven is a real place. You're going to walk around. You're going to experience it. You're going to live there forever and forever and forever in the presence of the living God. It's a place. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to prepare for you a place. Billy Graham wrote, heaven is a literal place. It's not an imaginary world or a fantasy land. It's a real place. So I want you to say with me, heaven is a place. And if I know Jesus, I'm going there. Now, the second thing the Bible tells us about heaven is interesting to me, because it tells us heaven is up. Heaven is up. Now, if I'm going somewhere for eternity, I want to at least know the general direction. And it tells me heaven is up. See, when I tell you it's a place, if you're like me, you're immediately thinking, well, if it's a real place, then where is it? If it's like Chicago or Tokyo or New York, then where is it? And the Bible lets us know a few things about it. First of all, undeniably, heaven is up. I'll give you some examples. In Mark, Jesus took the boys' loaves and fish with that great crowd in front of him. And it says, he looked up to heaven. Blessed the loaves, broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples. Never in the Bible do you read somebody look down to heaven. No, it's always up, because heaven is up. In John 17, 1, when Jesus began his high priestly prayer, praying for you and me that we would be sanctified and kept by God and all those good things, the Bible says that he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Heaven is up. When Jesus was finished with his earthly ministry, he led his disciples to the Mount of Olives. I love this. And the Bible says he called his disciples together, gave them some last minute instructions. And then it says he lifted his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And it says the clouds received him out of their sight. See, when the rapture happens, you're not going down, you're going up. Because heaven is up. David Jeremiah, in his great book on heaven, he wrote, the Bible doesn't give us the exact coordinates of latitude and longitude, and I'm not sure we can locate it with a telescope. That's because there are some realms that are visible and others that are invisible to the human eye. But just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. There are all kinds of things we can't see that we know are there. We can't see atoms. We know they are there. I've never seen the wind, but I have seen what the wind does. There are all kinds of things we can't see. We can't even see Jesus. None of us in here have seen Jesus, yet it says, having not seen him, yet you love him. We have walked by faith and not by sight. I fell in love with a Savior I've never seen, but that didn't stop me falling in love with him and believing in him and walking with him and praying to him. It's a place. It's in a location. And whether you're in Texas or you're in Tokyo, north is always up.
You've been listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call, 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, hardwired.org. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support.
It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners like you to allow us to be on this station. So please, consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to the website hardwired.org. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website hardwired.org. Thank you for your loyal partnership, as we couldn't do this without you. And finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi. And let us know that you listen to the program. That would really make our day. And Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day. And thanks so much for listening to Hardwired.